And ladies and gentlemen, we're back from our little blip in the screen here. My name again is Daryl Bradford Smith. We're going to continue our discussion with my guest today, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, the author of Synagogue of Satan. Andrew, 2001 saw the, right at the beginning, we saw the pardon of Mark Rich. Mark Rich, what you didn't write in here, I will add to this little part here. Oh, maybe you did. He was part of the financing of the Mossad University over in Herzliya, in fact, along with a guy named Estee Lauder's fortune, Ronald Lauder. But you also write here that he was involved quite heavily in many crimes, and it was the Anti-Defamation League chairman that helped get him the pardon he got, wasn't it? It was Foxman that got him that pardon, wasn't it?
Well, Foxman's admitted that his ultimate, that the ADL had received $250,000 in contributions from Mark Rich, including a grant of $100,000, which was shortly before Foxman assisted Rich in getting a presidential pardon from Bill Clinton. But what you've got to remember about this Mark Rich guy is he was actually, he was under charges of tax evasion and illegal trading with Iran and fled to Switzerland before he was due in court. And as a result, he remained on the FBI's most wanted list for years. And he clearly wanted to return to America at some point. So he stayed away where he couldn't be touched, used his money to get in with Foxman and what have you. I'm sure that they were well aware of one another before he gave them any money as it is, and then subsequently gets a pardon. And this was done on only hours before Clinton left office on the 20th of January 2001.
Yeah.
It just goes to show that money talks, and especially if it's the source of money as well.
Yeah, well, we move in right into the 2001 period when the attack happened here, and of course, we know full well that the people behind this are the same group we've been discussing, and we know that the Israelis and their agents and their different, they have a myriad of secret organizations of secret, like the Mossad, the Shin Bet, the Manmet, they call another word, a Manmet is another group. They've got a lot of different groups, but one I want to get involved in here is the Logan Airport's security apparatus here, the ICTS organization. And Hutley International is one of the big represented companies from this organization. It's a completely controlled Israeli company. Do you know who the principals were? They actually were the founders of the Mossad's two children, were they not?
Oh, yes, ICTS. Huntley was owned by ICTS, and ICTS principals, Menachem Atzmon, who was convicted in Israel in 1996 when he was treasurer of Ehud Olmert's mayoral campaign, and that was to become mayor of Jerusalem. Of course, you know that Olmert is now the prime minister of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was actually convicted, and he was on trial alongside Ehud Olmert for finance fraud. Now, Olmert got off, but this guy got convicted. The other principal was a guy called Ezra Harel, and he died in mysterious circumstances at 53 on his yacht just off the coast of Palestine. So, yes, I mean, again, you've got one of the key airports with these attacks being controlled by Israeli-owned security services.
Well, don't they also run Gatwick and Schiphol Airport in Holland?
I believe so, yes. They're just a classic multinational corporation that are going to get hold in the end of everything because that's their aim, or that's what they want to do. If they can be stopped, all the better. But it's interesting, just very quickly, when you said about Viola a lot, And funnily enough, the other day I was in London, I was walking down the road in the early morning, and there was someone sweeping the streets in London, and it said, street cleaning services provided to Westminster City Council by Veolia. And so, you know, they're in everything, Daryl. It just goes to show, you know, they're getting control of all the public utilities, and this is something that they've wanted to do because they've got the banking, they've got the media, they've got all these other things, and so a while ago they thought to themselves, well, what's left?
You know, to remind the listeners, Veolia is a, it used to be called Vivendi Water, and Vivendi, as you know, is the company that morphed itself into the ownership of Universal Studios, and then they spun off the water part of the company into another business called Veolia. And Veolia now controls France's water in most of the municipalities and countryside, but they're also involved in all kinds of municipal government, and they are directly controlled by Rothschild, completely.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just another example. The good thing about something like that is people can keep their eyes open for them because I can, they've got their, you know, name on their employees in Britain. They've got it, you know, with you in France. I'm sure that some of the other listeners in the throughout Europe have probably seen this name about a lot as well.
Well, you'll see U.S. Filter is owned by Veolia as well, and U.S. Filter controls 6 out of 10 of the largest cities in America, their water systems. And these are the same people that are actually, through political action committees, trying to force people who have wells to start metering their wells so you can't get water from your own property. But that's for another time. Let's go on here to the... the five Israelis that were dancing around, filming, and dressed with, they found them with Arab clothing and passports and money. You want to get into that for a minute?
Yeah, well, what happened here is that the listeners will be familiar with these dancing Israelis that were found filming the 9/11 attacks and cheering and what have you. And they were actually arrested. And they stated that they're to document the event. When they stated that they were there to document the event, they appeared on radio and television in Israel, and this is something that you can actually find on the internet, the footage of them, certainly on television that I've seen. What you have to ask is, how did they know that there was an event going to happen that they had to document?
That's right. Simple. That's a one-plus-one deal, isn't it?
Exactly, and the other thing is that they were sent back to Israel. They weren't, they've been arrested, and, you know, I'm sure the police who arrested them wanted to ask some things, but they were overruled and they were put on the plane back to Israel.
Yeah. Well, they also were involved in a moving company that later on, well, their vans were pulled over, and they were tested for bomb residue, and in fact, several of the vans came back positive for bomb residue. And this was a New Jersey a moving company called Zim, if I'm correct. But one of the stories about the movement of some of these people back to Israel was done by a guy named Carl Cameron. The information about Israel's involvement in the attack, and he was not allowed to put that on the air, was he?
No, absolutely. And the interesting thing is that I don't know if you can still find it, but if you put Fox News Carl Cameron. And you should get something up on the internet because there was, I think, about four bits of video footage that were, some of them literally copied off the site because they were taken off the Fox site, where he was linking this stuff together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't find it on Fox anymore, but it's been archived in other places. So it's very worthwhile if the listeners go into whatever search engine they choose to use and put Carl Cameron 9/11, and that should come up pretty high with the footage so they can see this for themselves.
Well, and then they had 200 Israelis detained, and they were sent back on simple visa violations. But these are people that had direct connections to Israeli military and Israeli intelligence, and instead of looking into their role here in the United States after the attacks, they were actually shipped back to Israel at the orders of Michael Chertoff, who was in the Department of Justice at the time. And rather than prosecute them or investigate them, the FBI aided them, and so did the Justice Department, in sending them back to Israel. Is that also not correct?
It is, and what you would find as well is, of course, that you had the Zim Shipping Company had offices in the World Trade Center, and they left breaking their lease just before the attacks.
Yeah.
200 people when, you know, it's obvious to anybody watching that that building came down through controlled demolition.
Yeah.
That would indicate you've got the vans, you've got the people, you've got a period of time in which the bombs have got to be set up, you've got the change of security, you've got Marvin Bush running it. All these different things that are happening just are pieces to the puzzle which shows you what really happened. And these people were there to do a job, there to wire those buildings up. They did it. They knew that they were going to be protected because they were all there for that job. They used the excuse of visa violations to deport them when I don't think that they'd be deporting if they had Osama bin Laden in New York that day. I don't think they'd be deporting him on the visa violations. So the fact of the matter is it's just so transparent that this was an operation that was done. They got out. I'm sure there was a similar thing that went on in London, but it was a far smaller scale with just a few bombs, so it wasn't like wiring a massive building, two massive buildings, or, well, three when you get building seven as well, like that. But this is clearly what's been going on.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have the short selling going on where Israelis, the short sales of stock, meaning that you profit by the drop in a stock value of 38 different companies, was identified immediately after the attack. So these people were actually placing monetary bets on this attack happening, and there was no investigation by the FBI, was there?
Well, they said there was. They said that they were looking into these stock deals that were apparently all down to Bin Laden's group. He was out of his cave, apparently. But I've never heard the result of that, Darryl, have you?
No, and it won't get investigated either. Probably another one of those, secret things that they're not allowed to divulge to the sheeple. We got more here, but let's go skip forward here to we'll move forward here. There's the Amdocs and Comverse Infosys. This is important stuff, and this goes back to what's his name, Vladimir Grisky, and what is the story here? Adam Goldman. Let's get into that. Give me some description of this guy Goldman.
Well, what we've got with Amdocs essentially is what they've been doing is United States drug agent enforcement officers. Their communications have been penetrated, and there was only really a way that could have happened, and that's if someone had penetrated the system that they communicate through. Now, the two companies that they used the communication system of were Amdocs and Comverse Infosys, which are both Israeli firms. Amdocs generates the billing data for most United States phone companies, and Comverse Infosys gets reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by the Israeli Ministry of Industry and Trade, so it's right linked into the government there. It builds all the tapping equipment used by law enforcement to eavesdrop on all American telephone calls. But
so they probably helped build the NSA, and they probably are very heavily involved in the echelon system that we have working out of both London, out of Britain, and out of the United States.
Oh, absolutely, and what you'll find that, again, it's these things that are happening, these people are always involved somewhere along the line, and they're always in a position of control. They like to be in a controlling position as opposed to in an operative position.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there's more information there for the readers. I'm going to skip forward here to the anti-Semitism stuff that you had written here, and I think it's an important thing because what we know is that the tool these people have to silence the critics is to use this anti-Semitism, and you write in 2002 about Webster's Dictionary. Could you give the people a definition of what this says?
Well, yes, Darryl, and this touches on what we discussed earlier about the political correctness, but what we've got here is Webster's Third New International Dictionary, which in 2002 came out with a new definition of anti-Semitism, which, incidentally, anti-Semitism had not been updated as a definition since 1956. The definition reads, anti-Semitism, 1, hostility towards Jews as a religious or racial minority group, often accompanied by social, political or economic discrimination. 2, opposition to Zionism. And 3, sympathy for the opponents of Israel. Now, 2 and 3 are added in the 2002 edition. So what they're doing here is they're kind of, with the Jewish community as well, this is this group, if you like, attacking the Jewish community, because what they're saying is they're lumping Zionism in with anti-Semitism. Mm. And so if you're opposed to Zionism, then you're opposed to all Jews.
We know that's absolute nonsense. We know that's nonsense.
But that's what they're doing, you see, because what they're trying to do is they need, you see, if it gets to a situation where people start finding out this stuff and taking it out on the Jewish tailor or stuff like that, and this is what they want, because then they can say, look, this is terrible and what have you, because these people aren't involved. And so they need to identify themselves with a bigger group, and that's why they've identified with all the Jews in this group. And then it also frightens the Jews that don't follow this criminality to band with them. Otherwise, they'll feel that they're on their own. But linking Zionism in essentially being Jewish is what they've used all the time, because if you ever criticise what they do, they say you're anti-Semitic.
It's quite brilliant in its silencing of its critics. However, what I find today is that more in the numbers, the sheer numbers are overwhelming them. They can't put this one out. This fire is just is just raging, and there's no way they're going to silence this stuff. Now, the next talk that you have here is about these art students that had been shadowing military bases and actually there were a couple of detainees, Israeli, that had there was bomb residue. What you said, TNT and RDX military grade plastic explosives were found inside the cabin of a vehicle and when the FBI did some testing.
Well, yes, and the FBI decided to announce that it was actually, they were wrong. The explosives were actually cigarette smoke was what they found. It wasn't explosives, it was trace of cigarette smoke, and experts have said that that's absolutely ridiculous. You can't confuse explosive residue, TNT and RDX, military-grade plastic explosive. I don't know how plastic explosive can be like cigarette smoke, but this is the story that the FBI come out with which has come down from their leadership. The case is closed, and the Israelis are handed over to the immigration service to be sent back to Israel.
You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. You just can't. Let's go on to the October 29th, two PNAC members. We have Kagan, who I've talked about on the show, and also I've talked about William Crystal. I'll allow you to read what they say here in their statement about the gathering storm. Why don't you give the listeners a read on this?
Well, they put an article out in the Weekly Standard, and a quote from that is, "What looms over the horizon? A wide-ranging war in locales from Central Asia to the Middle East, and, unfortunately, back again to the United States. Afghanistan will prove but an opening battle. This war will not end in Afghanistan. It is going to spread and engulf a number of countries in conflicts of varying intensity. It could well require the use of American military power in multiple places simultaneously. It is going to resemble the clash of civilization that everyone has hoped to avoid." Well, these two people certainly haven't hoped to avoid it, because they were asking for the Iraq War back in 1998. And when you mentioned earlier about Iraq being a first world country, of course Iran is too. It's got an excellent infrastructure and education system, and they're about to, all they want to do is destroy, and they want to decimate that next.
Well, you get into the autobiography of David Rockefeller, you place a Rothschild before his name. Is there evidence that he is a direct descendant or related to the Rothschilds?
This is a this is a contentious issue that some people say he is, some people say he isn't. The evidence that I've found is there are links, certainly between those families, because you have to go back to with Standard Oil and what have you. We all know the money from that, where that came from, and it was Rothschild. And when you've got these groups, they intermarry. There's no two ways about it. Whether he is genetically or not, certainly that family would be now. And the fact that he's a descendant of the first big Rockefeller just goes to show that he's just followed the family tradition of exploitation and what have you. And so I think the link itself is enough, whether it's by blood or just by business relationship. I mean, as you know, with J.P. Morgan, with the $14 million that he left when he was worth hundreds and hundreds of millions, that's when you find out, you know, that the money was never really his.
Well, I'm going to skip forward to 2003 and make this our last little story here. It's about probably the greatest hero of our time. I want you to discuss this incredible human being. When I think of her, I'm almost brought to tears, because I just remember watching the video of her being crushed. Her name is Rachel Corrie. She is a hero for all ages and should go down in our history books as one of the bravest people ever. She went over to Palestine to help people who were suffering from the ravages of Zionist criminal Jews in Israel. And they drove over her with a tank, with a bulldozer that, not only did they drive over top of her, they backed up and drove over her again, killing her, broke her back. And it's all documented on film. The callousness, the heinousness of this crime is still not part of the mainstream news. I hope one day it will be. You want to talk a little bit about why you, put her in this, I mean, this is an unbelievable story.
Well, Daryl, I'm so pleased that you raised this, because we opened the last show talking about this, and afterwards you put a large article with information about her at the top of the site for several days, and I was so pleased that you did that, because this is a person who really deserves the utmost respect. She gave her life for what she believed in. She went over to Israel as a very young woman in order to defend Palestinians, because, you know, whilst a lot of other people of her age were, you know, going to parties and bars and enjoying themselves and what have you, she clearly had an interest in helping others. She found out about what was going on in Israel, and she went as a young woman over there to defend Palestinians against Israeli atrocities. So she was reading about this stuff, she found out about it, and she went over there. And she decided to stand in front of a bulldozer, because I think if you stand in front of something like that in America or something, where it's going to knock down someone's house, then, you know, they're going to have to call police over or whatever if they want to get rid of you. But of course, over there, they just thought, oh, we'll just drive over her and back up again. And the response that this evil, utmost evil act has got in America is just disgraceful, with it being ignored by President Bush, Eri Fleischer, of course. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to condemn Israel for it. They try and maintain it's an accident, even though there's video footage that we've got showing it clearly is not. And it just goes to show really what these Zionists are. And that is just... They're just scum that needs to be removed from our world, because they're just animals, and they don't care about their own people. They're quite happy to see their own people killed. I'll say their own people. I'll say people of the race that they say they attest to. As we talked about with the anti-Semitism, that's another example of them now saying, "Oh, let's group all these people in with us now, because, you know, having this number of other people will protect us."
Well, and what we know, Andrew, is that they sold out Ashkenazi Jews who did not want to sign on to their Zionist agenda. And what they did is they said, because they were working hand in glove with the Nazis, they turned these people who were giving them trouble within their own ranks, they turned them over to work camps where these people were forced to work, in some instances, to their death. And so what it shows the Jewish community is that they have absolutely no compunctions and no restrictions about murdering anyone, period. Anybody, any place, any time, they will kill them if they need to, or if it serves them their purpose. Now, I am going to say something here on the show that I would like everybody to consider. I want full-scale verbal attacks on Zionists to start commencing everywhere it could possibly be done. I mean, this is what I mean. I want Zionists in the country and in Europe and everywhere they can be found to be hunted down and verbally chastised, shouted down with the facts. I watched this thing about Pondereff over at the bookstore right next door to where I lived in New York, the Barnes & Noble bookstore, where some very brave people got up and just gave this guy a tongue-lashing, and I watched this filthy, awful man, who's one of the designers of these most recent crimes, go slinking away like a snake. And I thought to myself, verbal assaults are going to work, because I'll tell you something, they will be afraid to start speaking their lies if they get attacked everywhere they go. And we need to start doing this everywhere, Andrew, everywhere.
I completely agree with you, Darrell. I think that, we've got a groundswell of listeners now that, you get a regular amount that, I think listen, on a regular basis. And we talked before about getting names of these different people, and, it's time to escalate it to the next level. And we're not asking people to, you know, get into trouble and commit violent acts and what have you, like a lot of these shows try to do. Although there may come, if people, and I totally agree with you, if America may be our only salvation, if they start locking people up and people literally have to resort to what is within their constitutional right to do to defend themselves, then it's good that they still have that right, because, as you know, and throughout Europe, we don't have arms because that's been taken away from us. And so it gives the governments the power to do what they want and use their own security services and know that, you know, they can have all the arms and what have you, and so we can't really challenge them.
Well, you know, to verbally assault these people with the facts and to shout them down when they speak out to support their crimes, they need to be challenged everywhere. I see it happening, and I think it should be turned up full volume. This crime network has to be done away with. We need to place them all on trial, and when we find them guilty, we need to get rid of them. I mean, get rid of them like you would a tumor. These are people are a cancerous growth of sickness on our world. And I got to tell you, Andrew, it's coming down to the big press here. We've got push going on, and I think these people are feeling the heat everywhere they go.
Oh, they are, and but the thing is unfortunately, the majority of people I think a lot more people than you would think are aware that there's something very badly wrong in our world, but because they can't do anything about it, and they won't like the idea of, you know, seeing the stuff that you and I have seen in our research with Iraq and what have you. But so what they do is they avoid it, and they just read about the sport, and they read about the Britney Spears and things like that, thinking that it'll keep it away from them. But it won't, because what will happen? They've said themselves that these wars are going to go on here, there, and everywhere. Iran has the potential to, you know, become a full-scale war if Russia decide they're on their side. And as we both know, it seems very strange that Iran will come out with a lot of the things that they come out with. So you have to assume that their prime minister is working for this group and trying to foment hatred to go forward to create this.
Well, you know, you mentioned yourself that what's his name, Mark Rich, was actually involved in dealing with the Iranians.
Weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so this is the real problem, and this is why I say don't look at... It's like years ago people were talking about Hugo Chavez as being like a saviour, if you like, and the one voice who spoke out against Bush and things like that. And, you know, then we get other people going on about Ron Paul, and then, oh, maybe Putin, maybe he's all right because he's standing with Iran. I don't think any of these people can get into any of these positions without being controlled by this group anymore. I really don't. Yeah. And so I think people need to see that they need to not feel that there's someone out there that's going to do the work for them. They need to really do their very best that they can to get this message out, because it needs to really, it's not coming from leadership down, otherwise these people would be saying this stuff.
Well, I said, I said, you're right, Andrew, and I said recently, why wouldn't Putin tell, if he was really looking to help, why wouldn't he talk about 9/11? Why wouldn't he say anything about this crime group? He doesn't speak about it. People like Mahathir Mohamad have come out and said things about it. He's talked about the Zionist crime network. He's been willing to risk it all for it. But people like Putin have not. How about Ahmadinejad saying something about 9/11? Why doesn't he release the information his secret police have about all the players in 9/11?
Well, I agree with you, Darrell. I think that that was a very recent audio file he did, and it was very good to go through that, because it really puts him into perspective. If these people, you know, they've clearly got the knowledge, and if they're not saying it, then why aren't they saying it? And the other thing with Putin, I mean, you know, these oligarchs that got kicked out of Russia and things like that, one of them gets arrested and things like that. Well, if these people were in control of this country, how did some guy just suddenly snake through and become president? It's just not really realistic. There's always a chance that he gets in and he's part of it, and then he decides to change and go against it. But how many times have we seen that through history? It doesn't seem to happen. You'll get the odd outgoing senator in America who's been a senator for donkey's years, and then he'll decide to come out and say, I think it was Hollings, that the only voice in the Senate is AIPAC. That's all it is. And of course, you know, he's retiring the next day. He's had his pay for years and years, so he can say pretty much what he wants. He just thinks,
yeah, or Congressman Finley saying that, you know, if they only knew, you know, and writing about it. But of course, he's in his 80s and he retires.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, with Finley, he wrote a book. I've seen excerpts of it. I've not actually read it all through, but yeah, he's another one. I'm not sure how long he was in there. He might have been one that was decent. I'd have to look him up and see how long he was actually a congressman.
Well, Dare to Speak Out is a very powerful indictment of criminal Judaism and Zionism in the world. And his video file that you can find on the internet is absolutely powerful in every respect. I urge everybody to watch that, because now it's interesting to note a guy like Ron Paul, who knows all of the story about 9/11, has not come out with the truth, and there's no indication he will. And there's a reason why people like Alex Jones are his main supporter.
Well, exactly, and. It's interesting you point out the relationship between Alex Jones and Ron Paul, because Alex Jones, I think the majority of his videos have been on 9/11, and he's had Ron Paul on his show several times, so I fail to understand how Ron Paul won't know the 9/11 story, and if he does, why he chooses to associate with Alex Jones. It just goes to show there's so many people in this community at the moment that are pinning all their hopes on this Ron Paul character, because over the years he's spoken about the Federal Reserve and things like that. But the Federal Reserve is something that you kind of get into after you get into 9/11, if you see what I mean. The 9/11 stuff is quite easy to understand, as opposed to the banking system and the banking structure, which, you know, is a lot more difficult to get your head around. So how he can understand that but he can't understand 9/11 just goes to show that he's another one who's been put out there, could be out there to get names and addresses of people, could be out there to try and show, hey, we still have a democracy, you guys over there can still have a voice with this guy. But he's clearly not out there with the truth, because with the opportunities that he's got to come out and state about 9/11 and what have you, he could build up a groundswell of support behind him if he could say, right, this is the situation, this is what's happened on national television. People are shocked to see what he says, and then he can provide the information and show how it all occurred in a coherent manner. And that then, if he did that, he'd have a chance of becoming a president, because people would see the evidence and think, well, this makes a lot more sense than the story that we've been told.
That's right. That's right. And all we need is a powerful representative of the truth to do that. And he could be that person, but he's refused to be. And so that tells me the guy is not the right person to be backing. And I've said that from the beginning, because I just don't see him doing anything that's going to get the truth any further afield. Andrew, as usual, very powerful, extraordinary work here. You know, your book is off the hook. It's Synagogue of Satan. I recommend it to everybody. They can still get a few copies of that you're selling, or they can go and get it from the TexMar site, but you've still got some. And you want to give your details so people have a way of getting this book if they want it?
Yes, Darrell. I've got a few left of the first edition that I did, and then Tex printed it, and he put an index in it and a foreword. And you can get Tex's one from either his site, texmars.com, or if you go to Amazon sites, it's on the .com, on the front.
Will you give a signed copy if they call from the French Connection? Say, if they call up and mention the French Connection, you'll give them a signed copy. How's that?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. If they want to come to my site, which is www.thesynagogueofsatan.com, they can get one of the first editions off me, and I'll sign that. And, yeah, it's up to them. I want them to get the edition that they want, because if they want the index and they want the text mark forward, I want them to get the book that they want. If they want the first edition, then they can come to me and they can get that signed.
Well, mine's signed. I got mine signed by Andrew. You can have yours signed by Andrew, too. Andrew, you know, as usual, a very powerful file here, very powerful interview. Good friend of mine you are, and I appreciate everything you've done to forward the facts about this terrible state we're in. We have more to go on this. This is going to be the second installment of this, and people can download the actual text on the website and do their own research. Please tell others about this information. And please, ladies and gentlemen, spread this far and wide. Become aggressive about this information. Become aggressive at countering the Zionists. Go out into your community and find out who they are, and assault them with your information. Assault them with your verbal accostings, if you will. I don't want anybody being violent out there, but I want you to be violent with your information. Scream into the top of your lungs what's going on. Tell everybody. Time that we stop them. They're trying to start a terrible war with innocent Iranians who've never done a darn thing to the United States except being victims. They've been victims of our country for generations. It's got to stop. It's got to end here. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening into the French Connections show today. As always, take care of your families, please. Every one of you, take care of your families and be well. Till the next time. Bye-bye now.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me know what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, whole land. In other words, dawn. My heart with song, and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I want.